Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series talking about the Holy Spirit. And all of last week and yesterday I was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience from being born again. It is a second encounter with God where you receive power, and it absolutely transformed people in the Bible, and it's my personal testimony that this totally transformed my life. And I think that there's a lot of Christians today who have stopped only with being born again, and I'm not trying to minimize that. That is the foundation. That's where you get all of the goods put on the inside of you. But Jesus didn't do any miracles until he had the Holy Spirit come upon him, and then he went in the power of the Holy Spirit. God is three in one, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did not operate independent of the Holy Spirit, and neither should we. Jesus credited the power of God in his life to the Holy Spirit being in him and working through him. He told us we would receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon us. And I tell you, one of the major problems in the body of Christ today is people who have separated the baptism of the Holy Spirit and said that that's not for us today, or people who have incorporated and says you got it all at one time and there is no such thing as a second encounter with the Lord and a second endowment of power. What this does, it makes Christianity to where it is unlivable. You can't live the Christian life. You can't walk in the things that God has ordained for us in your own power. It has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've got a large segment of the body of Christ today that is denying the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, there are people who love God, there are people who are forgiven, but they're powerless. And I know that there will be a lot of criticism and a lot of rejection of me for saying that, but I tell you, I've been at this a long time, and I have seen the difference in people when they receive the Holy Spirit. It's just like daylight and dark. And that's the point I was making on our program yesterday, that the disciples were weak, and they wanted to serve the Lord. Peter said, though all forsake you, I'll never forsake you. And yet he not only denied the Lord, he cursed and swore with an oath that he had never even seen this man. And that's the way he was. He was in love with the Lord. He had served him for 3 years, but he was powerless to be a witness. Jesus said, you receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness. And when Peter received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden he was a totally changed person. Fourth chapter of the book of Acts, man, he stood boldly and proclaimed the gospel and said, you're the ones that are responsible for crucifying him. The very people who could have killed him, he spoke boldly because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, if you really get into the Word of God and not into religious tradition, there is just no way that you could deny that the baptism of the Holy Spirit changed men from being natural into being supernatural. The book of Acts, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, and it's verified all the way through the book. Anyway, I could go back and just add to and re-preach all of the things we've already talked about. Now what I want to talk about is about the speaking in tongues, which accompanies the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not the only thing that the Holy Spirit does. It isn't even necessarily the greatest thing that the Holy Spirit brings into your life. But it is something that was consistent. When people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. And I tell you, the focus of the criticism against the baptism of the Holy Spirit tends to always focus on this gift of speaking in tongues. This is very offensive to people. And I think I could spend a week or two talking about this, but I think that the reason that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, specifically speaking in tongues, is so offensive is because the Scripture says that this is foolishness to your natural mind. It's silliness. You'll often hear people talk about these people that speak in gibberish, and it's just ecstatic, and it doesn't mean anything, and they will discount it and put it down as just an emotional, some kind of a sensual type of thing. And in that evaluation of speaking in tongues lies one of its great strengths. Because when you speak in tongues, it is foolishness to your own mind. And for you to persist and speak in tongues and do it more than just, you know, a little phrase or something that you do as an emotional release, but for to speak in tongues on a consistent basis and use this as a form of prayer, you have to go beyond your natural mind and your emotions, and you have to get into the spirit realm to be able to do it. Because it is foolishness to the mind. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." And this is one of the greatest benefits to the Holy Spirit, is because we get into our own thinking. You know, there's so many scriptures like Proverbs chapter 3, Psalms 37, there's many others that talk about trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. There are so many scriptures that talk about that the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. I tell you, this mind is certainly essential. We have to be able to think to function in this world, and we have to think to be able to get the revelation of the Word. The Holy Spirit inspires our thinking. So we can't do without our mind. But at the same time, even though the mind is essential, it can be one of your greatest liabilities when you lean only unto human thinking. To follow God, you're going to have to break out of your natural realm. You're going to have to get into a supernatural realm. And this brain that is limited to what it can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel can be an asset, but it can also be one of your greatest liabilities. How do you break loose? How do you go beyond just human thinking? How do you go beyond man's wisdom and get into the wisdom of God? Well, speaking in tongues. When you speak in tongues, it says that your spirit is praying, but your understanding is unfruitful. You are bypassing your brain where you have your doubts and your fears and your limitations, and you are speaking directly out of your born-again spirit, which if any of you have heard my teaching on spirit, soul, and body, you would know that it's your spirit that got totally changed. Your spirit is identical to Jesus, that you have all power in your spirit. But how do you get it out of your spirit, past your mind, and into your physical body? Well, there's numbers of ways of doing that, but speaking in tongues. You are praying from your spirit, bypassing your understanding, and going right out of your mouth into the physical realm, and you are releasing supernatural power. Speaking in tongues is a powerful thing. And this is why Satan has focused so much opposition against speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is powerful. And in the Bible, they did it. You know, it amazes me that today, as a whole, if you just took the body of Christ as a whole, there is a huge segment, I could even probably say half or more of the body of Christ does not believe in speaking in tongues, that they believe that this passed away with the apostles. And I'm going to deal with some scriptures and show you that that's not true. But a vast majority of the body of Christ does not believe in speaking in tongues as being a valid gift for us today. And this has become a point of contention. And I believe that the reason for this is because Satan knows how powerful it is. When you start speaking in tongues, it opens up a brand new realm unto you, and it releases the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit into your life in a way that people who do not speak in tongues cannot operate. Again, there are just so many scriptures on this. Let me say this, that anybody who believes in the Bible has to admit that speaking in tongues was a major. I'm not talking about a minor thing that just happened to a few people. In the Bible, when the church was established on the day of Pentecost, they all spoke with tongues. And it affected people. And there was 3,000 people born again because of this miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then in the 8th chapter and in the 10th chapter and in the 16th chapter and in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, they all received the Holy Spirit. And when they received the Holy Spirit, they received this gift of speaking in tongues. Any person who believes in the Bible has to admit that speaking in tongues is a part of the New Testament Christian experience. And look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 39. "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues." That is a direct command from the Bible. forbid not to speak with tongues. And yet it's amazing to me how many people, how many denominations forbid speaking in tongues when the Bible commands you not to do it. And sad to say, most people just don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. There are probably people watching this program right now that you're saying, well, you know, I read that in the Bible, but my denomination says. Mark chapter 7, verse 13 says that you make the Word of God of none effect through your traditions and doctrines of men. And I know that there's people watching this program that even though I'm sharing this straight from Scripture and it gives a command, forbid not to speak in tongues, your church continually forbids speaking in tongues. I'm telling you that that's wrong. Speaking in tongues is from God. It is a powerful, powerful experience that makes a huge difference in your life. You know, I was painting a house one time. This is back when I was in Childress, Texas. I'd only been in ministry for a short period of time. I wasn't full-time, so I was supplementing it, and I was painting a house. And this lady was a Baptist lady, and I'd been talking to her about the Lord, witnessing to her and sharing with her as I painted her house. And anyway, the more she got to know me, she says, you know what, you're a fine young man. Why did you ever leave the Baptist church? And I said, well, because I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they asked me to leave. They told me that they didn't believe in that, and they wanted me to get out. And she says, are you talking about speaking in tongues? And I said, well, that's part of it. I said, I do speak in tongues, but I said, that's not all that there is to the Holy Spirit. And she says, well, they'd have kicked you out of my church too. And I started sharing scriptures with her, and I came to this verse, 1 Corinthians 14:39, where it says, and forbid not to speak with tongues. And I said, right here is what the Bible says. How could you say that speaking in tongues isn't of God when it says forbid not to speak with tongues? And this woman just stopped me in mid-sentence and she says, hey, there's lots of things in the Bible that we don't believe. And when that woman said that, I mean, how do you persist in talking to a person when they'll just openly tell you that I don't care what the Bible says, this is what our denomination teaches? Most of you would never say it that way, but you know what? There's many people that this is exactly what they believe. There are many people that the Word of God isn't going to trump anything else. It's what you've been taught. It's what you've been brought up with. I'm telling you that the Bible teaches that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is a valid experience. And there's only a couple of scriptures that I have ever heard used in a way that even comes remotely close to saying that the baptism of the Holy Spirit passed away after the first century apostles. And if you study them correctly, they don't say that. They say just the opposite. So let me go to these scriptures and just begin to take some of the scriptures that people have used to counter this baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and show you that instead of them saying that the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues have ceased, it's just the opposite. One of those is right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says in verse 9, it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as also I am known. And people will take those verses to say that which is perfect is talking about the Word of God. And when the Word of God is come and we no longer have, now that we have the revelation written in the Word of God, we don't need the supernatural gifts of healings and miracles and speaking in tongues and these kind of things because now our faith is based on the Word of God. And that's what people will teach. You know, I really should have read one verse before this, put it in context. In verse 8, it says, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And then in verse 10, it says, for when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And so people say that which is perfect is the Word of God, and this is when speaking in tongues will cease. And so now that we have the Word of God, we don't need miracles, we don't need speaking in tongues, we don't need all of these things. Well, first of all, you could just use some natural logic and say that this certainly doesn't make sense because this is saying when that which is perfect is come, we won't need this prophecy and speaking in tongues and these things. And you can just use natural thinking to show that that isn't talking about the Word of God. Now, I believe that the Word of God is perfect. I believe it's complete. I am not arguing that, but that is not the perfect that this is talking about because, let's look at this. It says, at that same time, it says, prophecies, they shall fail, tongues shall cease, knowledge shall vanish away. Let me ask you this. Has knowledge vanished away? Certainly not. Matter of fact, one of the prophecies is that in the end times, knowledge would increase. And this is one of the signs that of the time is that our knowledge is just exploding exponentially. Knowledge hasn't ceased. And look at this. It goes on to say in verse 11, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then what? In context, when that which is perfect is come, and prophecies are going to cease, and tongues are going to cease, and knowledge is going to vanish away, then we will see face to face. Have we seen the Lord face to face? No, that hasn't happened yet. And so that which is perfect hasn't come yet. Even though I believe that the Word of God is perfect, this is talking about when we receive a glorified body, when we no longer have a corruptible body that has an unrenewed mind and things like this. At that time, you won't need to speak in tongues because you will know all things, even as also you are known. You will be perfect in your understanding and you'll be able to communicate perfectly. But until that which is perfect has come, this glorified body, and we are now seeing the Lord face to face, until that time, we do have prophecy and we do have speaking in tongues and we do have knowledge. Instead of this teaching that speaking in tongues has passed away, this is a valid This validates and proves that speaking in tongues will never pass away until we receive that glorified body where we have perfect knowledge and we no longer need to speak in tongues and bypass our lack of understanding. So again, going back to verse 12, for we see through a glass darkly, but then when that which is perfect has come face to face. Now I know in part, but then when that which is perfect has come, shall I know even as also I am known. Do you know everything now as you are going to know it someday? Obviously not. And you know what? I think that every one of you, if you'd be honest, would have to say that you have not seen Jesus face to face. You do not know all things. And it says, when that which is perfect is come, we will see face to face. We will know all things, even as we are also known. And at that time, speaking in tongues will cease. Because your mind will be perfect, there will be no limitations. You know, over in Romans chapter 8, it says, but the Spirit, here we are talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is speak in tongues. And the Spirit helps our infirmities. This isn't talking about sicknesses and diseases, because the next phrase says, for we know not how we should pray as we ought. An infirmity is talking about a lack of understanding, only knowing in part. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does through speaking in tongues and groaning in the Spirit is help you to bypass the limitations of your mind and communicate directly out of your spirit that, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, knows all things. We have the mind of Christ and we know all things. It's in the Spirit, not up here in your little peanut brain. But in your spirit, you have the mind of Christ. And speaking in tongues will draw this supernatural wisdom out and allow you to bypass the doubts and the confusion and the lack of knowledge and the wrong teaching and things that you have in your mind. And you can pray the perfect hidden wisdom of God right out of your spirit in communion with God. Instead of these verses teaching that now the Bible has been complete, speaking in tongues is over, which is what some denominations, entire denominations, base their criticism and rejection of the Holy Spirit on these verses. Instead of that teaching that speaking in tongues passed away with the apostles after the Bible was established, this proves that speaking in tongues will not pass away until you see the Lord face to face, until you know all things, even as also you are known, which is talking about either our going to the Lord through death or the second coming of the Lord when we receive a glorified body. At that time, when you know all things, when you are face to face with the Lord, you won't need to speak in tongues. Until then, you need speaking in tongues. You know, I can't tell you everything I know in one 30-minute program. I'm just about out of time, but the rest of this week, I'm going to continue to talk about this and talk about what speaking in tongues will produce and the benefits of it. But this right here, if you believe Scripture, again, please don't be one of these that doesn't let the Bible influence what you believe. Please be one of those that the Word of God is more important to you than your tradition, than what any person says. I've used these verses to show that until you see face to face, until you know everything, even as also you are known, you need to speak in tongues. I've used this verse out of 1 Corinthians 14:39 that says, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues." That's a command. I encourage you to bow the knee, to humble yourself, and let God's Word dominate you. You know, some of you just think, well, man, you're being hard. You don't understand. Hey, I was raised in a group that taught that speaking in tongues was of the devil. And when I first started coming into this, I guarantee you, I got kicked out of churches. I got told that I was of the devil. I made the top 10 list of places that were of the devil in Arlington, Texas. I was number one on the list because I had a Bible study with about 100 people that were speaking in tongues, and this Bible church put out a list of places that were of the devil, and I have been criticized. I've been through things that you're going through. I was taught the opposite at one time. I went through persecution. I've had people say that I'm of the devil. There's people that are going to respond negatively to what I've said here, but it's the truth. And you know what? There's a lot of people that are afraid to speak the truth because this is divisive. There's a lot of people that won't tell you that this is a powerful gift because they're afraid they might get some criticism. I'll probably get criticism, but you know what? I'm also going to have the Holy Spirit use this to set a lot of people free. And I'm telling you the truth that you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you need speaking in tongues. And regardless of what people say about me, regardless of what it costs me, I'm going to tell you the truth because it will set you free. This is what the Bible says. And if somebody is telling you something contrary to this, they are preaching doctrines of men. They are not preaching the Word of God. Until you see the Lord face to face, which hasn't happened yet, until knowledge passes away and you know all things, even as also you are known, which hasn't happened yet and isn't going to happen until the return of the Lord and our glorified bodies, until that time, you need to speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you are missing a powerful, powerful thing. It doesn't mean that you aren't born again. It doesn't mean that you don't love God. But it means that you're missing out on one of the great gifts that God gave us. And praise God, there's just no reason to do that other than religious traditions and doctrines of men that have made the Word of none effect. You know, I'm out of time today, but I will continue this on our program tomorrow, and I'd encourage you to listen in. And also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can receive all of these products about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Call or write today.
Today, Andrew is offering his book titled, The New You and the Holy Spirit for a Gift of Any Amount. In this book, Andrew explains the specifics of your new life in Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Request book T323 when you contact us. The New You and the Holy Spirit is also part of a three-book set titled, Foundations. Included in this set are two additional books, Spirit, Soul, and Body, and The True Nature of God. Together, these books will help make an intimate and personal relationship with God a reality for you. You can receive Foundations for a gift of any amount. Request item T4500. Andrew's two-part teaching titled, The Holy Spirit, is also available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1040C or DVD album T1040D when you contact the ministry. The second teaching in the CD album titled Speaking in Tongues is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching THO7C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to thank all of our partners for standing with us. You know, the things that I teach on the television, like today, there's not a lot of people that'll just boldly proclaim this because it is controversial. And I couldn't do this if it wasn't for our partners. We're going through what the world is calling a worldwide recession. And, you know, I have access to dozens of churches, many different national ministries, and nearly everyone has decreased and had a hit to their income because of this global recession. And yet it's just the opposite with us. Our finances have increased. We've set record income months because of the faithfulness of our partners. And I just want to say a big thank you. You are the best. God bless you.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries of Canada. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too-good-to-be-true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd. For our Summer Family Bible Conference.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. In South Africa for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 21st through the 23rd. And in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st. He'll also be in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 6th through the 8th and in Little Rock, Arkansas August 28th through the 30th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
You can give a prophecy. You can speak what I call a simple prophecy. And just a word of encouragement inspired by God. Every believer can do that, but that doesn't make you a prophet.